Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what time it is, right? You know what time it is. Not what day it is, what time it is. It's time for the Hump Show. Middle show of the work week. We had our fun. We had our run on Monday night with no basketball, just one hockey game. Tuesday night now, back to the compelling action, the drama, the big stars to be sure. And I love the separate angles from which the Lakers and Nuggets approach the Western Conference Finals. And there's some of that with the Eastern Conference Finals as well. But it's fun because the lower seed is the team with the championship heart and metal, the franchise that's highly decorated, the Lakers looking for their 18th NBA banner, while the Nuggets do not have one. They are the top seed, but it feels like they have a lot more to prove than do the Lakers. Even though the Lakers weren't really supposed to be here, whatever that phrase means. I love it when people say that in sports. You aren't supposed to be here. Well, guess we didn't get the memo. And while both the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics have championship banners, they also come from two opposite ends of the spectrum. With the East Finals starting on Wednesday night, we will let you hear from couple of the players for each, but also Eric Spoelstra on quality veteran head coaches getting fired, because there was a third on Tuesday. This blows me away. If you think about the three coaches who've been fired in the last couple weeks, Mike Budenholzer, who led the Bucks to a championship 2 years ago. Monty Williams, who has seen the Suns' transformation into a championship contender. And now Doc Rivers, who also has a championship. And while I see what some fans post with their hot takes about Doc Rivers, how it's ancient history, it's not like he forgot how to coach. It's incredible how much of what happens on the court with grown men who make their own decisions and a lot of times don't even pay attention to their coaches. It's amazing that they still end up as the fall guys. Now, is there something to be said for building culture? Yes. Certainly, a timeout here or there, adjustments here or there, la, la, la. But do you really think that NBA players, grown men, the best in the world, are going to say, oh, yeah, the coach is why we fell short of our goal? Do you think Joel Embiid would say the coach is why we fell short of our goal? No. I understand the need for change, and sometimes it has nothing to do with wins and losses, though that can be the fallback. In the NBA, coaches are managers right? They're not doing a lot of teaching unless we're talking about a really young team. What they're doing is managing minutes, egos, rotations. Sure, they'll draw up an out-of-bounds play here or there. And they see the game differently than the guys who are on the court. But it's not as though they're pulling the reins. And so it's pretty stunning, actually, to think about these three coaches who've all been fired in the last couple weeks. But expectations, fair or unfair, they very often determine the fate of coaches in pro sports. So Doc Rivers, for those of you who wanted to see him go or thought the Sixers should make that change, we talked about it, I guess, on Sunday night, right? That was our question about the Sixers and if they come to you and ask you for your professional input, what do you tell them to do? A lot of you said fire the coach. Just as many of you believe James Harden should no longer be included moving forward. Some of you think the whole thing should be blown up. I highly doubt that's going to happen, but apparently the change that the Sixers franchise believes will make a big difference is different head coach. It would crack me up if they hired Mike Budenholzer or Monty Williams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It is the Hump Show, one game into the Western Conference Finals. We'll dive into that coming up. Many of you have already found our post on both Twitter and Facebook, and we're asking you to send your questions early. Actually, that's how you'll get the attention of producer Jay. Ask Amy anything on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. The post has been up for a couple hours, so chop, chop. You don't want to wait too much longer. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on this edition of the show, DeMar DeRozan, he takes aim, as in ready, aim, fire, as he talks about some of his peers in the association. And then the draft lottery won by the San Antonio Spurs, which is as pretty close to a done deal as, say, Zion Williamson going back a couple years ago when he was the consensus overall number one pick. You'll hear from the young man, international superstar in Paris, who is likely headed to the Spurs. Interestingly enough, the last two times that San Antonio picked number one overall, they ended up with a pair of Hall of Famers. One center, one power forward. I'm a huge fan of those two players, if you can name them. Producer Jay, would you like to name them? You can if you like.
Tim Duncan, David Robinson?
Yes. The last two, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, they were not just difference makers, but they altered the entire trajectory of the Spurs franchise each time with those number one overall picks. Well, this French super prospect is expected to be in that same category. That's a lot of pressure to bring into the NBA, but people who watch him, and there are videos and highlights out there, they believe that he is the real deal and could end up being just as impactful as David Robinson in 1987 and Tim Duncan a decade later. So we'll get to that as well. In Major League Baseball, well, Justin Verlander's debut in front of the hometown Mets now. His first game at Citi Field as a member of the Mets it resulted in booing. Not definitely, or not all on him, I should say, but his performance didn't help. Another pitcher ejected for stickiness. Sticky. If you missed our conversation, by the way, with Matt Snyder, I know it's getting a lot of traffic on our social media. We talked first quarter of the baseball season with him. And we definitely looked at the impact of the pitch clock as well as some of the early storylines. So that's part of our podcast. And our podcast is posted every weekday morning on both our Twitter and Facebook pages. In football, Joe Burrow talking about his contract extension, sort of. Devontae Adams with some pointed comments about him as a receiver outside of the duo that he was with Aaron Rodgers for years. PGA Championship starts on Thursday. Oh my goodness, it's the springtime. Sports never stop. And actually, there's a story coming out of the WNBA that I want to talk about on this edition of the show. Speaking of the San Antonio Spurs, you'll understand coming up. Oh, I look up and there's David Robinson's mug and Tim Duncan's actually on TV. Yeah, pretty high profile. The only two times that the Spurs have previously won the NBA draft lottery, they were franchise cornerstones. All right, so we're diving in. We'll do Ask Amy Anything in the third hour of the show. Got a lot to get to between now and then. Here's what I loved about the beginning of the game for the Denver Nuggets. They were running. They were pushing the tempo. They were using defense and rebounding and outlet passes and pushing the tempo. They weren't waiting for the Lakers to gather themselves on defense. They weren't waiting for the Lakers to get organized. They were trying to avoid being in a half-court situation or a half-court battle because the Lakers are better in half-court sets when they have time to set up their offense. They like their chances or they like the matchups with the Nuggets defense in the half-court. I mean, think about it. They've got two of the best players in the game in LeBron James and Anthony Davis and other guys who can shoot. Austin Reeves showing us that yet again in the opener. So what the Nuggets wanted to do, clearly, it was evident at the beginning. It was evident the strategy was to run, and that's what put them up by 20 points. It was a brisk pace in the first half. Every chance they could, the Nuggets were looking up court. Heads up. Everybody, all five of them going as fast as they could to try to catch the Lakers out of position on defense and get an easier look at the hoop.
Loose ball down to Bruce Brown. Front court, Gordon, three. That one misses. Rebound, Jokic. And it's tipped out of his hands, and it comes to Lonnie Walker, the fourth. Lonnie has it. He goes coast to coast. Hook shot, no good. Rebound down to Jokic. Porter leaking out. Gets it in the corner. And a three. Missed it. Rebound, Joker. Put it back up. Got it! 14-point lead, Denver. Their big lead of the night. LeBron James, left side of the midcourt circle. 9 on the shot clock. Whips it in the corner. Three-pointers on the way. That's an air ball. Rebound down to Murray. Murray's quickly up the floor. Denver looking to tack on. Murray, stutter step and a drive. Jumper. Good! With 1 second to go. Denver leads it by 18. And there's the horn to end the first half. What a performance by the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, half number one. They lead it 72-54.
Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio, and they were up by as many as 21 in this game. So the midsection, they were dominant. But in the third quarter, as they come out of the halftime locker room, they're not running as much. They're not pushing the tempo as much. They actually seem to take their foot off the proverbial gas there in the third quarter, which gave the Lakers some life.
We had 19 fast break points tonight, but 17 were in the first half. That's because we were getting stops and turning them over and running out. In the second half, we didn't get stops, so it became a half-court game, which is to their favor. They have the number one defense in the playoffs. So for us, we have to continue to find ways to get pace into the game and not play against that set defense. They have tremendous size, length, and athleticism out there.
Jokic has it now, top of the key, dribbling right. Schroeder gets in there with him. He puts it up. AD blocked it. Here comes LeBron the other way. LeBron driving down the middle all the way to the rim. Fouled. LeBron will go to the line to shoot two, and the Lakers can cut it to five. Here's LeBron at half court. Crowd chanting defense. LeBron dribbling right. LeBron to Austin Reeves for three. Good, and it's a three-point game. 124-121, timeout, Denver.
Well, that's John Ireland on Lakers radio as they were able to get a bunch of set shots. Austin Reeves draining threes, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I mean, Anthony had 40 points in this game and a 14-point cushion there in the third. And then in the fourth is whittled down to just three. So you could feel the tension there in Denver because, again, the Lakers have all the championship hardware. And they've got two players, not only all-stars who are part of the 2020 championship team, but they've got a ton of playoff experience. And the Nuggets, well, they don't have the championship banners, but also they've got They've got a track record against the Lakers in the playoffs. So, with the Lakers having a lot of that experience on their side, not to mention LeBron and AD, Denver's got to accentuate their advantages. And as they kind of took their foot off the gas and stopped running as much, and then Mike Malone mentions they're not playing great D, and honestly, neither team was locked down on D. There's a, 258 points in this game. The most total points without overtime since the late 80s. And get this, as I was watching the game, I'm thinking, and probably fourth quarter, you were thinking the same thing. It really bogged down. There were no field goals in the final 2 minutes, or I guess after 1:53 mark. There were no buckets, just a few free throws. And so even with that, they still had 258 total points. So the defense wasn't the primary focus. There are a lot of scoring. Both teams shot better than, I think it was 56% without looking. Both teams shot at a very high clip. It was the Nuggets early, and it was the Lakers late. And so the game is hanging in the balance with about 2.5 minutes to go and the turning point for the Nuggets.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Rebound fought for, grabbed by Michael Porter Jr. And Davis falls on him. That should be a foul. Casey takes it away. Leaking out is Murray. Alley-oop and dunk. Two hands. Aaron Gordon.
Good job, MPJ, getting on the floor.
6-point lead for Denver. 2.5 to go.
Once again, Denver Nuggets radio. And what stood out about that is they got the ball down the court in two passes. One big outlet pass from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to Jamal Murray rushing up the left side to a streaking Aaron Gordon on the other side of the court for an alley-oop. In mere seconds, that ball went from one baseline to the other. That's what I mean about pushing the tempo. A long pass down court. Jamal Murray, he's running. He's got his head up. He sees Aaron Gordon coming in from the other side. Boom. Alley-oop. And that was a huge momentum swing. Now, certainly, there were opportunities for the Lakers. Even in the final minute, this game, still not yet in the bag.
50 seconds remaining. LeBron into the front court. Lakers trail by three. Jamal Murray guarding LeBron. Three for the tie. No good. Rebound to the Denver Nuggets. Not dead yet.
Not yet.
42 seconds remaining.
Plenty of time.
Here they come. Lakers got to wake up. They're complaining about the call, but now they're good.
They need to make a stop here, though. Three will clinch it for Denver.
A two might clinch it. Here is Jamal Murray. Throws it to Jokic down the middle. Blocked by AD. Grabbed by AD. And what's the call? A foul on Anthony Davis.
Late ball.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I didn't see the foul.
Oh, that's a tough one on Anthony Davis.
On the Lakers radio network, you hear John Ireland and then Michael Thompson. To be fair, as much as the foul led to free throws for Denver, their best opportunity is fumbled away in the late stages when LeBron James loses the handle on the basketball in the paint and Jokic is able to scoop it away from him. I mean, that was their best opportunity in the late stages. And so the Denver defense showed up when it needed to. That fast break with the alley-oop dunk seemed to wake them up again. And the Lakers come up just short. So we'll hear from both the Nuggets and the Lakers as we move forward. But some big performances. Nikola Jokic, another triple-double. How about these numbers? 34 points, 21 rebounds, and 14 assists. Jamal Murray with 31. AD with 40 points and 10 rebounds. LeBron James racking up the points later in this game. 26 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists, so one assist shy of a triple-double. I mean, there's some stat sheet fillers in this series. 258 total points, that blows me away. If you play defense in this series, maybe, just maybe, you can grab an advantage, grab an edge. All right, find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We will hear from the Denver Nuggets, victorious in the opener of the Western Conference Finals. Could this finally be their year? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron has it at the point for the tie. Missed it. Long rebound. Knocked out of bounds. Last touch by LA. Now the Nuggets can go 2-for-1 here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Nuggets hang on and survive against the Los Angeles Lakers in the opener of the Western Conference Finals. All these games start at 5:30 Pacific time. Now, this was in Denver, so 6:30 Mountain Time, but 5:30 LA time, 8:30 Eastern time. They're trying to split the difference, but yeah, kind of tough. If you are a Lakers fan, the game starts at 5:30 in the afternoon. But the national TV audience sits right in prime time on the East Coast, and so it's still a little awkward. Eastern Conference Finals also begin at 8:30 ET, 5:30 Pacific time. So the schedule stabilizes a little more over these next couple weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets. Got to take that win. That's the most important thing.
We'll take the win. You know, we protected our home court, and wins are hard to come by this time of the season. But our defense has to be a hell of a lot better. You know, they shot 66% in that second half, and they didn't feel us, and they scored way too easy. To get 19 fast break points, to our rebounded them by 17, and 29 assists on 11 turnovers are all really good numbers. So I'd much rather clean up things after a win in the Western Conference Finals than a loss. So we'll take it, but much work to do.
Nikola Jokic, he was doing work. 34 points, 21 rebounds, 14 assists. And you could tell from the outset, at least initially, as they're building that 20-point lead, he's extra aggressive.
We need to be aggressive. We need to win a game. So especially in front of home crowd, especially because they won two game ones. So it was written. I think it's being aggressive. It's a normal right now.
Nikola was great. You know, 34 points, 21 rebounds, 14 assists, two blocks. And as you mentioned, Harrison, his aggression, him driving the ball, dunking the ball in traffic. And we always talk about an aggressive Nikola Jokic is a very effective Nikola Jokic.
He certainly is. What now, 6 triple-doubles, I think, in the postseason? So he is, even though he's not the NBA MVP, he is right now one of the most impactful players that you're going to get in the postseason. Except the Lakers made a run. Jamal Murray knows it. They pulled within 3 points multiple times in the fourth quarter.
Just weather the storm, not foul, not rebound, not turn the ball over. Those are the things that were going through my mind at the time. That's why it's a series, man. Sometimes it's tough to adjust mid-game, you know, especially with matchups and all that. But I think we did a good job of just making shots and weathering the storm. But that's why it's a series. It can go back and forth. Both teams are going to make adjustments.
But I like what Mike Malone had to say. You sure would rather work on your game and make adjustments after a win than after a loss. Caught this from the Nuggets Radio Network. I was actually listening to it following the game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope says they actually got away from their game plan, even though they did get the win. The way they started is not how they finished.
We talk a lot about it, just defend, rebound, and get out in transition. What we best at, and what they lack at on defense. So I think we did a lot of that first half, but the second half we kind of gave up on it a little bit. But you know, we finished it out strong. That's why I love the team, man. We're resilient and we don't let up.
So he admits they got away from defend, rebound, push the tempo, defend, rebound, get out in transition. I think I heard, I don't want to say exactly which player it was because I might get it wrong, but I thought maybe it was Bruce Brown who said they took their foot off the gas in the second half, in the third quarter, essentially. It might have been KCP, with one of those guys, that they had built that big lead offensively, but then didn't keep pressing the tempo, didn't keep forcing the issue. And my goodness, in the shoot, was it early fourth quarter or early stages of the fourth quarter? There were those two reviews that seemed to take forever, slowed the game way down. That's annoying, and it seems like it's happening more and more. I know there's a commitment to getting it right, but goodness, across every sport, we got to balance these lengthy reviews with the need to get it all completely 100% right. And then sometimes still the calls are not exactly right. So it just, it bogs down the game. As for the Lakers, their big guns had the points they needed in AD and LeBron, and they got 23 from Austin Reeves. Rui Hachimura also ends up in double figures. Actually, had a really nice game. I really enjoy watching him play. And his defense on Nikola Jokic. So they made an adjustment in the fourth quarter, if you noticed. Rui was actually guarding Jokic, and AD was kind of back in the paint, clogging the lane, almost like your last line of defense with his long wingspan, right? The long arm of the law. So when they did that, it changed the offense. It altered the offense for the Denver Nuggets, and that really sparked the Lakers' run. So some good strategy here. I enjoyed watching it. The Nuggets obviously are tightening up the rotation. Other than Bruce Brown, you're really not seeing much off the bench. Jeff Green, he's got a few minutes off the bench. I can't believe he's still playing. It feels like he's been around forever. He's in his late 30s. But he doesn't score a lot, but he'll at least give you some minutes. But really, their rotation has gotten shorter and shorter. Now, the Lakers play the same number of guys in this one, but a few more minutes off the bench. Ultimately, those two units kind of canceled each other out. So here's another question. Marco Belletti's here in studio. With AD and LeBron playing 42 and 40 minutes and the turnaround, right? So in between games that are in one location. So the next game comes up on Thursday night. We're talking about Mile High City, Denver, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's a lot of minutes for two older guys who've got a ton of mileage on them. I don't know if they can sustain this continuing through the, you know, what might be a long series.
Yeah, look, it's going to be difficult, obviously. Bottom line, if you want to win, you want to win a championship, you're going to have to log a lot of minutes, and you're going to have to ask guys that are older to be able to do that. I mean, if there's one thing we've seen from LeBron James, he's going to find a will and he's going to find a way. Anthony Davis is a different story. Mm. You're going to probably get some clunkers out of Anthony Davis during the series. Now, whether that's in game two or not, we'll find out. That's something that LA is always going to have to guard against. And that's the problem when you got a guy like Anthony Davis, because he gets beat up easily. And he's a guy that has a tendency to disappear. When he's not at his top game, his floor makes no sense. Because when he's at his top game, he's so good. But he'll put up, you know, a game where he's got, you know, 12 points and 6 rebounds. You're like, how is that even possible? You're too good for that. The Lakers have to guard against that, but when you got a long series, maybe they can adjust with one bad game, but they need to get one on the road. Game two is almost I don't want to say it's a must win, ooh, but it's pivotal for the Lakers. The last thing you want to do is have to win two games at home just to make it a series late in this one. That's going to be a little rough for them.
Yeah. Anthony Davis takes 23 shots in this one, is perfect from the free throw line. So it goes 11 for 11 from the free throw line. But as the series wears on, as Marco points out, he has a tendency to have at least one game in which he's, I don't want to say non-existent, but a shadow of what you saw tonight.
And again, and that's offensively. I think, and that's going to be important. The Lakers need his points, don't get me wrong. They can't live without his defense. If he's not going to be the guy that's, you kind of mentioned too, long arm of the law. If he's not going to be in the paint late, and he's not going to be able to adjust shots, he's not going to make everyone have to adjust their game when they come down the lane,
right?
The Lakers have no chance. They need him to be impactful on the defensive end. They need his points. They need him to be offensively there. If he's not a guy that's going to be able to clog the paint and take charge, the Lakers are done. There's no way. They're never going to be able to overcome that. It's too much.
I mean, the fact that they're still standing now is actually really impressive, but we'll see what they have left in the tank. And as you point out, the defense that they have to have on the back line because of what Jokic does, they have to.
And maybe they found something because they did adjust pretty well down the stretch. Maybe they found a little bit of a different recipe. We don't know. See if that translates in the game two. And obviously, in a long series, as much as they know each other, you kind of feel each other out in the first couple of games and see what works, see what doesn't work, see what kind of adjustments you're going to make. If they can find a way to get Anthony Davis off of Jokic and still be impactful on the defensive end, that can serve the Lakers well the rest of the series.
Will you hear from the Lakers coming up next on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the NBA Draft Lottery tonight for people who still partake. If you're keeping score at home,
you are listening to the
surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
After Hours Podcast.
Junior, and Davis falls on him. That should be a foul. Casey takes it away. Leaking out is Murray. Alley-oop! Two hands. Aaron Gordon.
Good job, MPJ, getting on the floor.
6-point lead for Denver. 2.5 to go.
It was big. It was very big. I was a momentum swinger. Got the whole crowd back into it, and I don't remember the following play, but it felt like they got a little stagnant after that. You know, I typically, when you go have a big swing like that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jamal Murray, who's the one connected with Aaron Gordon for the alley-oop dunk with about 2.5 minutes to go. At that point, it was just a 4-point spread. But as you hear Jamal say, it was a turning point. He felt like that Aaron Gordon alley-oop saved them. And I was impressed that they were able to get the ball the entire length of the court in just 2 passes and really caught the Lakers flat-footed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lakers deserve some credit for cutting what was a 21-point deficit down to 3 multiple times in the fourth quarter. They put together an 11-2 run. It was the defensive adjustment with Ryu Hachimura. It was Anthony Davis on the back line, altering shots as he can. It was Austin Reeves sinking triples. It was a different mentality for the Lakers, and it was their ability to slow down the game and slow down the pace. Ultimately, though, might have been too big a hole for them to climb out of.
It took us a half to get into the game, and that was pretty much the ball game right there. We got to understand that, you know, we got to start from the tip-off, you know, and they punched us in the mouth to start. Them getting second-chance points, they also got on the fast break and killed us in the fast break in the first half, you know, and it was 10 for 10 from the free throw line. So, you know, I know the game is won in 48 minutes, but they set the tone in 24 minutes, and you know, we're playing catch up for the next 24.
They did have some real positives, though. Again, the ability to alter the defensive approach, cut that lead way down. They certainly hit a ton of shots. Anthony Davis had 40 to go along with 10 rebounds, and they only had 7 turnovers, which was really impressive, too. They've taken great care of the basketball. But what about that change on defense, AD?
Different adjustments just throughout the course of the game. We did end up you know, liking it, stay with it for a while. Maybe something we go to game 2. You know, obviously we got to go back look at the film. But just thinking about it right now, something that we like.
Slight adjustment. Wanted to take A off as being the initial line of defense. And hopefully, you know, Rui Katerni make him go east-west a little bit more. And once he went up to shoot, you know, he shoots 70% on those floaters, those little short-range chip shots and floaters. And the idea was just to get A behind him a little bit and have A as that big, long arm just ready to contest over the top of Rui. And so it was good for us in some segments. And, you know, we were able to, after a tough first half, giving up 72 points, claw our way back into it.
First half was really ugly, to say the least. Got it going in the second half and really just played harder was the common denominator at the end of everything. Was we went out and competed in the second half and gave ourselves a chance.
Austin Reeves, a big part of their rally from 21 down. He ends up with 23 to go along with 8 assists. And as we've talked about, we're looking at heavy minutes for both these starting lineups. So the advantage in that case would go to the Denver Nuggets. Game 2 coming up on Thursday. So at least initially, they're going to alternate every other day. It'll be the same for the Eastern Conference. And when they're playing in the same building in back-to-back games, well, makes it a little bit easier. But we know the odd scheduling is on the horizon because here it is, May 16th, Tuesday night, May 16th, or if you're already awake on your Wednesday morning, Wednesday, May 17th. And we're into the conference finals. the NBA Finals, Game 7, is still over a month away. If they go to a Game 7, it's still over a month away. But at least initially, they will alternate. So Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, that's Eastern Conference, Games 1, 2, 3. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then actually Monday as well, so not taking time off in between, which is nice. They're going to get these conference finals done lickety-split, and then we're going to sit around and wait for the start of the NBA Finals.
Wait, one finals game
see.
A week?
Hold on. Let me see what the start of the NBA Finals is. I know the last, and the reason I know this is because when Bob was planning his vacation to the Northeast for some hiking, this is crazy. I just looked at the date. This is nuts. When Bob was planning his vacation, we were trying to figure out the best time for me to be able to meet him in West Virginia. And I said, I got to wait till the NBA Finals is done, or at least potentially a Game 7 of the NBA Finals is done. I can't take off during the NBA Finals. And he said, okay. So I looked it up and realized that it was June 18th, which again is over a month away. Guess when the NBA Finals start?
All right. They end on the 18th.
Yep.
Don't tell me it's May.
No, that's the part. That's the part that's crazy. They don't start till June 1st. So if you're looking at it right now, okay, just for the sake of argument, it's May 17th, right? On Wednesday, when the Eastern Conference Finals begin. So if you look at it, there are still 2 weeks left in May, right? So we're over 2 weeks until June 1st. It's still 2 weeks and a couple of days. Okay, which means if the conference finals are going to alternate and go every other day, they could be over by middle of next week.
Yeah, right.
And then we're sitting around waiting for over a week for the NBA finals to start. It's just dumb.
And then once they do start, they're going to make it draw it out, what, 2+ weeks?
Yeah, there'll be
also
major gaps. Well, yeah, actually, again, this is if the NBA finals go 7 games,
right,
they're going to take 2.5 weeks just to do one series.
That's insane. That's insanity.
I know. But it's all based on their TV dates. They set these dates way in advance. I just don't understand why then we have to drag out the rest of the playoffs. It just
the first round is way too long.
Condense it. We need to condense it. But yeah, the NBA Finals won't start until June 1st at the earliest. Let's see. I want to look and check the schedule. So for let's just say, for the sake of argument, we go into game sevens for the conference finals, right? Game 7 would be, if necessary, in each of these series, would be Sunday and Monday of next week. So they will take some time off before they get to the kind of second half of the conference finals, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if the conference finals go to game sevens, then you'll have maybe a 3-day gap. But if they don't go to game sevens, let's say they go to sixes or they go even to fives. What if there's one that's over in five?
What happened?
Then we're talking about a couple of weeks. It's just, yeah, it does seem like it's taking forever.
This is what load management is about.
Darvin Ham's got the right idea. This is what load management is about, because the playoffs take 8 months. Oh my God. I really hope they both go game sevens. That'd be great. Then we'd only have maybe a 3-day gap. But if not, if they're over within, say, 5 games, then you're talking about a week of sitting around, maxing, relaxing, waiting for the NBA Finals. And I get it. It's a high-profile championship series, but it also can lose its momentum coming off of these playoffs.
I don't think I'd like it if I was a player.
That's true. Good point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing.
Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.